Anyone else before I break all the kids' hearts? All right, man, what a good morning. We have already had church. Phil preached my sermon. And then Alyssa gave the invitation. I want to do what I can do to wrap this up. But there is a common theme this morning. We have gone through the 4 weeks of Advent, walked into Christmas, and we talked about these wonderful attributes that Christ brings into our lives, that this idea of the gospel brings in. The first week, hope, there's hope. If you believe in the Lord, there is hope. His life shows us hope. His death and resurrection show us hope. There's peace. Justin preached on peace. Peace with God. The peace of God flowing through other people. And what I think to be one of the most amazing pieces of peace is when you and I know the Lord and we know the sacrifice of what Jesus has done, we can have peace with ourselves. The world can't offer that. That's why it tries to mask it or run from it. Nothing secular society can offer will bring you and I peace with ourselves, like knowing what God has done. We talked about hope and peace and joy and love. And as we step into the new year, what we're going to start next week is we're going to go through the Proverbs. We went through Psalms. We're going to go through the Proverbs. But I was looking at this transition piece, and I was thinking about those 4 weeks of Advent, waiting for Christ to come and what it brings about in our life. And my thought was this: if we really believe those four things, like really truly believe, hope, peace, joy, and love, I think there's a fifth thing that comes with that. Perseverance. If you and I really look forward in hope, if we really have that peace, if we really have a joy that is unshakable because of what God has done, not like happiness that comes and goes with the next good news or the next bad news, joy that anchors and buoys as life comes, and love, real love, love for God, love for others. What should that bring about in the Christian life? And when the word perseverance hit, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. When the word perseverance hit me, it's one of my favorite words, and I think it's because it's always been one of the most challenging ones to me. And when I think about perseverance, I think about the idea of I will not quit. Now, the enemy offers some counterfeits to that. Right? So when our life is going in the right direction, and we call this kind of, what's the Jewish word I'm thinking about? Chutzpah, we call it perseverance. When the flesh is in charge, what do we call it? Pride, that's a good one. How about stubbornness? Every kid starts off as a what? Stubborn kid. And out of that flesh and out of that maturing process, hopefully, you push it in the right direction and give it a good shove and then say, be as stubborn as you want to be on the right road. And God would call that perseverance. John the Baptist is who I think about. The Apostle Paul is who I think about. Most of all, and I think you and I get the picture in Hebrews chapter 12, you and I are to look to Jesus, the one of complete perseverance, the most stubborn person to ever live, would not deviate one degree from the will of God, would not deviate no matter the crowd, no matter the person, whether it was the crowd that wanted him to do something God had not commanded, or his own family wanting him to do something that was not in the character of God. Our Jesus perseveres. He is your Savior. He is mine. Out of that fruit, out of that idea, comes this concept of perseverance. I'm going to be mindful of our crowd today, so I'm going to give you the notes up front real quick. All right, if you write in your Bible, what robs my perseverance. Now listen, we got some young ones in here right now. If you're middle schooling up, you understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you right now, don't be a quitter. Don't be so fragile and frail that every amount of pushback makes you fold. Don't be that kind of person. Those kind of people are selfish. Those kind of people are lonely. Those kind of people make messes. Why? Because they're always looking for something easy. Don't be that kind of person. If you claim to be a Christian, you do not get that right. You tarnish the name of Jesus Christ when you and I are quitters, when we fold easy, when we give in. What robs our perseverance? I'm going to give you five things. Are you ready? Disobedience robs our perseverance. If you're not obeying what you know to obey, you can forget about standing when it's time to stand. You're going to fold like a cheap lawn chair. You're going to be Peter when the servant girl comes up and says, "Weren't you with him?" "No. No, I was not with that Jesus. Have no clue what you're talking about." You're going to be that person. That story pierces me every time I read it, because Peter was a big mouth, probably a little more prideful than he should have been, kind of had his way, and in all of those things, he really reminds me of me. And in that moment, I read that and think, let him who takes pride, thinks he stands, be careful lest he what? Fall. If you're not obeying what it is you know to obey, you can forget about standing when you need to stand. You and I are required to do with the information we have what it is God tells us to do. And if we don't, there is repentance. You understand that word? When can you do it? All the time. Somebody say anytime. Do you have to wait till after service? They're playing a nice song. Do you got to come forward and kneel down? Do you need to ask anyone else their permission or their prayers? You do not. The Holy Spirit and you are having a conversation constantly. And you and I are figuring out whether we are grieving or quenching Him. Whatever that is, disobedience brings about the call to repent. And repentance is a fancy word for saying this: I was walking that way, God said it was wrong, I turned around and walked the other way. I walked the direction He called me to walk. Disobedience will rob you of perseverance. It will take your birthright. You know what else will? Distractions. Man, I have Baptist pastored this one up. Five. Not only do they start with the same letter, they start with D-I-S. Number two, distractions. We'll get there in just a minute. Hebrews 12 says, lay aside every weight and sin. That's hard. You understand? There's a distinction there. What would the distinction mean? One is sinful, and you and I know I got to let that go. But the other is something that I am just a little too attached to that's hindering my run. What's it mean to run a marathon? Anybody ever run one? No, I'm not going to raise my hand. That'd be a real lie. Half marathon? Nope. 5K? Nope. Not going to do it. If I was a distance runner, I would say we don't carry any extra weight. And you could tell that by the shorts they wear. Come on now. No extra weight. You know what would be real nice on a marathon? A bottle of water. You know what they don't carry? A bottle of water. Not that I've ever seen. What do they have? They have stations as you go. Grab a little sip here and a little sip there. Why? Because the extra weight causes what? Extra work. All of it. A snack might be nice too. You know? You don't carry it. Military's the same way. They're going to go somewhere and be there for a while. They take what they need. Do they take anything extra? Too much weight. The Bible says sins and weights. So disobedience will rob you of perseverance, and so will a distraction. Distractions, entertainment, fun, pleasure, power, work, pouring yourself into something that's not necessarily bad, but takes you and I away from the main thing. How about this one, number three, discomfort. You know what will rob your perseverance? Discomfort. Who knows that better than you or I? Somebody say the devil. Come on, say it. Who knows that discomfort will stop you faster than you know it? He does. You want to know why? Because he's been around a while. And he's, if nothing else, he is persistent and he is a good study. And you know what he's found throughout human history? Most people don't like discomfort. Just a little bit. We run from it. Push away from it. Pleasure, I want it. Discomfort, no thank you. I want to be the right temperature all year, right? Until I get the power bill. And then I want everybody to wear sweatpants and socks. We don't like discomfort. Discomfort in trial, discomfort in suffering, it all counts. It's all there. And any little bit can push you and I. You know what's fascinating? Do you keep up, anybody keep up with kind of the modern health stuff that they're coming out with? You know the running theme that I have found, and if you're not thinking about these things biblically, you're not thinking about these things as God, as the author, you won't put this piece together. You know what they're finding out about everything that they're studying right now about human health? You know what's really good for me and you? Discomfort. It's good for the body. It's good for the soul. It's good for the mind. They talk about fasting. The craziest thing in the world. Talk about cold water plunges. A sauna. You start reading the literature on these things, and you and I find constantly, check, check, check. The running theme is discomfort. Bending the body to do what the mind and the heart say is right is a very godly thing. And for you and I to be disciples of Christ, we're going to have to do that a lot. Do you understand what I'm saying? The world wants to distract you, wants to comfort you, wants to put you in your place at ease. And for most people, they're getting there really fast because you know where it lands them? In their bedroom, laying flat, watching TV by themselves. And if it's too hot, you kick the blanket off. If you're a little too chilly, you put the blanket on. Right? You could prop the pillows up, kind of sit yourself up. I mean, it's just so comfortable. And after days and weeks and months of living like that, what happens? Who's being blessed? But man, it sure is comfortable. Discomfort will rob your perseverance. How about this one? Disconnecting. We're going to get to all these in Scripture here real fast. But number four is disconnecting. When you and I disconnect, it's going to rob your perseverance. There's a lot of we statements in Scripture. We statements in Scripture. We. Why? No matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what happens, where it happens, how big of an event it is, unless, I ain't gonna say it, we got kids in here, unless something happens to this whole community and you and I are gone, there will be people in this church no matter what happens tomorrow. Stock market fail, we go to war, something wild happens, you get bad news, we all get bad news, there will be people here that can love you and help you. That's the grace of the church. The grace of the church. No matter what happens tomorrow, there will be someone in this body that will be there to love and to help you, and we will be able to congregate together and at least, as much as it depends on us, have a little bit of heaven on earth. No matter the news. When you get disconnected, though, guess what? That grace is not there. It's just you by yourself. And the Bible don't call you a lion. It don't call you a leopard. It calls you and I what? So come on, say it out loud. You know the answer to that. Thank you. From the front. Sheep. And sheep need a shepherd. And sheep need a flock. Lonely sheep get what? Eaten or lost. Number five. This is a two-parter. Disillusionment. Or disheartened. You want to know what will rob your perseverance? Getting disillusioned with things. You know, the concept of disillusion is you're let down. You expected something really great, and it didn't happen. You looked at someone and held them in high regard, and it wasn't there. And when you found that out, what happened? You got disillusioned. Broke your heart. Took your courage. Took your motivation. It's very easy. Happens to all of us. It'll rob your perseverance. It'll take it from you. You know who has a tendency to do this like more than almost anyone? It's people that work with other people. You and I expect bad things from the world. And in that subset of, I know the world is messed up, it's people that break our heart. You know who does it worse than anybody else? Somebody say, the church. So when you're in church life and you're in church ministry and you're expecting things to be as Jesus said they ought to be and they're not, guess what happens? It gets real easy to get disillusioned, to be mad at the Savior for the people, some of which don't even know Him. Did you say that out loud in a church? Yeah. Sometimes we're mad at people that claim to be the church that aren't the church, and they've disillusioned our whole life because a wolf or a goat was in the body, and we thought they spoke for Jesus, and they did something evil, wicked, or nasty, and it blew our minds. Just totally wrecked us. So we've become disheartened. We've stopped. We've lost our will. So those five things will rob you and I of perseverance. All of this stuff that God is doing in us through this hope, through this peace, through this joy, through this love leads us to perseverance. Because of that, have a seat. That perseverance should be there, but it's not. So there are things that are robbing it. These are the things that are doing it in our lives. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to run you through some perseverance perks. What's the good of perseverance? Look at chapter 10 with me, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean with an evil conscience, and bodies washed with pure water. How good was the sacrifice of Jesus? Somebody say, good enough to cover all my sin. Somebody say, good enough to cover everything I've ever thought that I shouldn't have thought. That's a lot. Can you imagine that Rolodex? You remember Bruce Almighty? And it was like he was going to open up the little filing cabinet of all the things that he had done that he shouldn't have done and all the things that he said and he shouldn't have said. And when he cracked the door open, it spun out like the whole warehouse. Do you understand that that's the concept of sin? It's not just what you did. It's all the things that you should have done that you didn't do. That's a big one too. That filing cabinet might be longer than the things that I thought that I shouldn't have thought. That idea, take it in, breathe it in, drink it in deep. That idea is nothing compared to what Jesus did on the cross. His blood, His body, His sacrifice washed all of that away. Didn't just cover it, cleaned me. Cleaned me. Made me acceptable into God's kingdom. So you and I are to walk into that with this hope and this confidence and this love. Like, we're going to see all these pieces in this passage. There's hope, there's love, there's joy, there's peace. Keep going with me. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. You and I are to be even more of an encouragement as we see things falling apart, or as we see what looks like the return of Christ. Even more so. Why? Because the whole goal is to be ready to meet Him. There will come a time in your life and mine, there will come a time when the only thing we wish to hear is well done from the lips of Savior, King, Messiah, Jesus. It'll be the only thing that matters in that moment. It will flood everything else out of our attention when we see Him face to face. And everything that's going on, this stirring up that you and I are doing in our lives, this holding accountable, this loving well, this supplying when we have it, is all based off of getting us ready to meet Him. So if we're not connected and we're not doing that by phone, by telephone, by time spent together, by time here, by service, front porch sits, outside picnics, eating together, all of these things are to be brought in so that you and I stir one another up to good works. Courage one another, all the more as we see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. See that disobedience thing? But a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Verse 32, but recall the former days when you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partnered with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. You see that peace there? You see that joy there? Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For if you have need of endurance, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. You and I are not of those who shrink back. We are not of those who give up. We are not of those who quit. What is in us is greater than anything in this world. What is in us is greater than any sin that I have ever committed, any brokenness I have ever poured out. So let's push back against these things that rob our perseverance, and we will be wrapping up today. Disobedience, you see it in chapter 10, verse 26. Disobedience robs us of our perseverance. We need to repent. How about this one? Distractions. Hebrews 12 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." These distractions in our life, we need to let them go. We need to let them go by focusing on the one who is not a distraction. He is God. He is the example. Everyone else, if I focus on them and they slip up and I give them my allegiance, what I'm doing is I'm focusing on a distraction. You know, one of the greatest things about the Christian life is you and I don't look to our leaders as the ones that we follow. We follow them as they follow Christ. The moment somebody I respect disregards the scripture or the commands of God, I am no longer obliged to follow them at all. It's the same thing with you and me. You and the elders of the church, the deacons of the church, you are no longer required to follow bad leadership. We follow Christ. We look to him. And that way my heart is safe from any failure any person is going to let out. Discomfort and trials. James chapter 1 says this, "Count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You see, perseverance perks. The first one is this. It proves the spiritual life. Galatians 5:22. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Faithfulness, patience, and in the midst of all of it, kindness. It's proof. When you and I persevere, when we are stubborn in all the right places, it shows the spiritual fruit within us. It builds a testimony that looks like Jesus's. When you and I persevere properly, it builds a testimony that looks like our Lord's, who would not even let his own family deviate him from the mission God had set before him. You ever had a family member question your Christian decisions? Maybe one that was saved or wasn't. Maybe they go to this church. Maybe they don't go to this church. But you had a will from God. You had something the Lord wanted you to do, and they questioned that in some manner. This relationship with our Savior can even divide down those lines. Where you and I are required to follow the Lord, it builds a testimony that looks like Jesus's. How about this one in James chapter 2 or chapter 1 verses 2 to 4 like I just read? It creates a complete believer. And let steadfastness have its full effect in you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Friends, if you and I are not stubborn, persevering Christians, there will be so much of your Christian life that is left incomplete. All the praises this morning from people being spoken were spoken in dark, hard moments. In that perseverance, God was completing, creating something more complete, creating something that looked more like Jesus. It couldn't be done on the mountaintop. It had to be done in the valley. Because on the mountaintop, it's really easy for you and I to be self-sufficient, distracted, not paying attention. But when that heart is broken, it's hard. Even if it's the wrong kind of attention, we're giving it to the Lord. The cries, the weeps, the fighting, the arguing, the stubbornness, all of that stuff comes in, and the Lord takes it all. How about this one? It also brings reward. Galatians 6:9 says that it even brings the crown of life. You and I, when we persevere, when we love well, when we will not quit, when we will not give up, the Bible says, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That's Galatians 6:9. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. As we get ready to wrap up this morning on this Family Sunday, there are perks to perseverance. It shows who you and I belong to. It's a trait of your Lord. It draws our testimony into His. Why? Because we're not quitters. We don't deviate easy. Somebody wants to stop. Listen, I am hopeful. I am hopeful that what God is doing in me will make me stubborn enough to outlast every person or everything that would ever come against me, even my own flesh. We love movies about heroes. We love to see them. We love to draw into them. I mean, man, Marvel, DC, like they're making movies about heroes. You know the most fascinating thing about that? You and I have the opportunity to share some of those characteristics if we're willing to persevere. Heroic people don't quit. They stay in hard places because God tells them to. They love people that are hard because God tells them to. And He uses that to do amazing things. Even the crown of life, James 1:12, and remain steadfast under trial. He has stood the test, will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. Friends, in order to push back against some of these things that are killing your perseverance, we have to get our mind right as to where we're going. You say, why would you preach this on Family Sunday? Because we as parents and grandparents need to start teaching it to our children. Teach them to persevere. Teach them the power of hard work, of breaking a sweat, of being told no, of not quitting. Right? It will lead to many of their greatest blessings. I'm glad I didn't quit when I asked my wife to go out with me the first time, or the 10th time, or the second time I had to ask her to marry me. Listen, you miss the blessings of stopping. I remember one of my buddies, man, he was older than me by about a decade, so he had lived a whole life. And he looked at me and said, listen, you don't stop until you get the prize. And I was like, man, that's going to set you up for a lot of failure. There's going to be a lot of no's in your future, and you have to learn to deal with it. There's going to be a lot of pushback against you. You've got to learn to deal with it. You and I cannot crumble, and we cannot fold, and we cannot let go, not just of our faith, but of our families, of our church. These people are suffering. You know what they need? They need what you have to offer. We cannot let go. As they come today to sing, as we get ready to wrap up this morning, I am begging you, take seriously the idea of being steadfast. Take seriously the idea of being stubborn in all the right areas. Let go. Let go of the things that are causing you trouble and pain and struggle, and buy into what the Lord has called you to do. Let go of that sin. Let go of those weights and get tenacious. Get edgy. Our faith should be edgy. It should not be so soft. It should be earthy. It should matter in the day-to-day. That's what stubbornness brings. That's what perseverance brings. Instead of folding, instead of letting go, instead of quitting, you and I are there. We show up the next day and the next day and the next day in our prayer life, in our prayer closet, in the Word. But we show up for other people. We show up when we've been hurt. We show up and ask forgiveness when we've done the hurting. Like, we don't quit then either. You and I are just going to cash it in and back away and just head back. There's a concept in the Old Testament, and it looks a lot like this as you stand. Joshua told the nation as they were getting ready to take the promised land. He said, you can choose today who you want to serve. You can go back to Egypt and you can serve them. You can, who God removed us from. You can serve the people in the land that we just conquered them. You can serve their idols too if you want to. Or you can serve the God of the universe that has brought all this about. Friends, when you and I are dealing in perseverance, we have to remember, speak out loud and talk about what the Lord has done. Because it's not just for your blessing, it's for other people that hear it too. All these testimonies this year have increased all of our faith. You and I have been blessed because some people here did not quit. And I am very, very thankful for that. This year may be your year. This year may be the year that you speak up and somebody's faith is buoyed because you didn't quit. If you need something, you come this morning. We'll pray together.